Well, Stan Johnson is our first-time guest tonight, and I always like to have a first-time guest on the program because there's that, you know, there's that spontaneity there. He has studied Bible prophecy for 30 years. He's been teaching it for 20, and as the founder of the Prophecy Club, he's hosted over 135 guest speakers over the last 17 years. That's a long time. He's considered to be one of the most informed speakers on Bible prophecy and future events. He's also the president and CEO of Prophetic Oil Incorporated, the goal of which is to find the prophesied oil in Israel. The topic tonight is the nature of time, prophecy for the United States, and why he believes CERN has a hidden agenda, oh yeah, to open a wormhole to other dimensions, which may have an unintended consequence of destabilizing Earth's geology. This should be very interesting. We'll be back with Stan Johnson in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Stan Johnson, welcome to the program. Delighted to have you with us tonight.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on.
Well, I'll tell you what, there. You know, for anybody who has seen The Avengers...
Yes.
Well, you know, they shot that thing up there, and they opened that thing, that hole in our immediate reality, and in came a bunch of creepy guys that they had to fight. What is this, what's your opening hypothesis for this Large Hadron Collider at CERN, and what is this fixation these scientists have on opening these bloody wormholes, not knowing really what that's liable to do?
Boy, I tell you, it's really scary. Well, my opening questions, my hypothesis goes like this. Have 33 countries spent $10 billion, hired 10,000 scientists to secretly recreate an ancient Egyptian stargate or wormhole? Was the idea for movies such as Contact, Hellboy, and Stargate SG-1 birthed from their plan to build a modern-day stargate? Is their stated goal to recreate the Big Bang and to find the Higgs boson really a cover story for something more sinister?
Yeah.
Will this 17-mile circular Large Hadron Collider, built 574 feet underneath Switzerland and France, open a door to another world? Could the LHC be causing the strange sounds reported over cities of many square miles in size? Could it be causing earthquakes and volcanoes to awaken? Some scientists fear that it could easily open a wormhole or create a black hole and destroy this planet. Muslims are looking for their Mahdi, or their 12th Imam, to lead Islam to world domination. And they claim that he's going to arise out of a well in the earth, either in Iraq or Iran. Christians are looking for the beast to, quote, ascend out of the bottomless pit.
Right.
The question is, will this LHC open a door allowing something strange to enter into our world? Scientists have built this collider at CERN, C-E-R-N, but CERN is not a word. Is it short for Cernunnos, which is an occultic half-man, half-beast, which arises out of the earth? Will Cernunnos arise from the Large Hadron Collider in 2014 and become the Mahdi, 12th Imam, the beast, and the Antichrist? Prophecy also says large locusts enter our world, sounding like running horses, sting men for 5 months. Could it be that through the LHC is how they'll enter our world? And finally, what will happen in 2014 when they turn the power up to 100%? Has mankind possibly built something it cannot control? Possibly something that could bring death to millions, maybe even destroy our earth? All right, that's my contention.
Wow. Wow, I'm glad I'm sitting down. In a minute, I'm going to want to lie down with an ice pack on my forehead.
It's scary.
Stan, just a couple of guys talking here and with a few million of our closest friends. Why are, it's mostly men, you know, I mean, the women are in there too. They participate in the projects as well. We know this. They're just as smart as guys, and typically they're better at math. Wish I'd had a smart math girl sitting next to me in class, or I might have done better. why, what is this fixation on coming up with stuff that we can't really control? I mean, just like that A-bomb, first A-bomb they let off, it's like, well, will this A-bomb letting it off, will it encompass all known reality, or will the chain reaction stop with the uranium? And a guy figured up, made a few notes on a legal pad and went, no, I think it'll be okay. Go ahead and let it off. It's like, oh, really?
I want to say that these are rational people, normal people, like we see driving down the highways next to us. But I also have to suspect that there's people in high places with unlimited income that have some secret projects, some secret experiments going on in various places around the globe. And they have discovered that this thing works on a small basis. But the problem is how do you get $10 billion? How can you build a big one? My guess is that they've actually built it on smaller. I wish I could prove this. I mean, I wish that I could say, look, you know, I Googled them or I emailed them. They let me in to their secret meetings and they showed me all of the secrets and they told me that this is really true. I wish I could say that, but I can't. But as we look around, things like the A-bomb, as we look around and we see our world being surveilled with cameras and now planes in the sky, something is coming. Something bad is coming. I think everybody in America senses it. We're all looking at each other with this kind of out of the corner of our eye saying, something bad's coming.
And it never comes from where you expect it. It always comes from where you least expect it.
I think that we are some of the most over and under informed people in the world, Americans. We have a lot of information. We have great communication, but we aren't being told enough information to straighten our world out. We're in a mess. Our nation's in a mess in a lot of ways. Why is that? And what are they doing with this big collider at CERN?
You know, they wanted to build one of those things in Texas. They called it the superconducting super collider.
That's correct.
And the project just fell apart. Now, the reason for this, I know a man who was supposedly, of course, you know, he's a brilliant guy, but he's also an expert bullshooter. And, you know, which in some cases. But he said that nobody really understood. The people in the political arena didn't really understand what it was, and the funding fell apart, and so that project went away. But I wonder if there's something more to that, and they just went, nah, we're not doing that here.
Well, what they tell us is the objective is to accelerate a clockwise and a counterclockwise circulating plasma beam at just short of the speed of light. And
right.
They tell us that what they're trying to do is to cause these to slam into each other like 11,000 times a second to create the God moment or the Big Bang. They're trying to find the Higgs boson, which is supposed to help them explain what gives all matter in the universe size and shape. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, you don't spend $10 billion financed by 33 countries with 10,000 scientists, 608 universities, 113 nationalities, something this technical, I mean, 1,600 superconducting magnets, just to look for a Higgs boson, the most elusive matter in the universe? Oh, come on. There's got to be, I mean, I just know that people are sensing they're being lied to. What is going on? What is going on in the world? What is going on in America? And they look at this thing and say, you know, I don't know the truth, but I don't think we're being told the truth, what we're being told. Anyway, to tell you what they're trying to do here, these plasma particles colliding at some 10 million times a second. It all started March 30th, 2010, when they turned it up to half energy, and they were elated. A new world record had been created, the highest energy man-made particle collisions. And then, just, 4 days ago, their newest jubilation, July 4th, 2012, cheers and standing ovations. Scientists at the world's largest, I'm reading here, Atom Smasher claimed the discovery of a new subatomic particle, calling it consistent with the long-sought Higgs boson. We have now found the missing cornerstone of particle physics. Rolf Heuer, director of the European Center for Nuclear Research, which is CERN. And he said that the newly discovered subatomical particle is a boson. He stopped just shy of actually claiming success that they had actually found this thing. But it still doesn't make sense to me that they spent $10 billion, 33 countries, to make this just to find an elusive nothing out there. I think that there's something else up.
Yeah, you know, in the last couple of weeks, it's like, well, we think we found it. Well, we might not have found it. Yes, we do think
right.
we found it.
And right.
They just keep going back and forth. They're not really saying whether or not they found it or not.
Well, when I started doing some research into this, I discovered that, first of all, the name of the place, as I just read off a second ago, where was it here in my notes?
I got a bunch of them, too.
Yeah, the European Center for Nuclear Research. Now, you'd think that the name of it would be ECNR, European Center for Nuclear Research. So how did they get CERN out of it? And that's a good question. So I did some research. CERN is actually not a word. It's actually Cernunnos, which is an occultic half-man, half-beast that arises out of the Earth. And he is portrayed as half-human. He's what they call the old god that sleeps down in the dark, moist, odorous underfoot, waiting for us to put down our roots. And he carries a torque and a snake. Now, a torque is where we get the word torque, as in a motor and how much power it's putting out. A torque is actually a ring that can go around your wrist, but normally it's put around the neck. And the real torques takes a lot of strength to twist them. They're very difficult. It almost takes two people to put it around someone's neck, and then when they release it, that person cannot take that torque off. In other words, it's a sign of servitude. It's a sign of being dominated. The second thing he holds is a snake. Well, you know, it's real interesting how these evil things are connected with a snake. So is it saying that the purpose of CERN is to enslave us and that it's backed by a snake? Then at the front of CERN, their logo, you might say, at the front of it is a statue of Shiva. But you say, well, what's Shiva? Well, Shiva means the destroyer of worlds. It's a Hindu god. So are they trying to say that their objective is to possibly destroy this world? You know, again, us driving down the road, person in a car next to us, we never think that there's someone as evil as someone that would want to destroy the world. But, you know, there's probably a small group of people out there that are exactly that bad. So, of course, I show pictures of this in my DVD, but are they subtly telling us their real objective? One of the things that I think tells us their objectives is how the elite give us their plans. One of your guests was Lindsay Williams, and the elite talked to him, friends, he's friends with the elite, and they told him that they consider it to be ungentlemanly to do something to the masses without first warning them, and their choice for speaking to the masses is through the media, television, and movies. Now, we see many of the movies are not based, they're really fiction based upon fact. So what have the movies spoken to us from the elite? For example, the Fox television series called The Lone Gunman aired May 2001, 4 months before 9/11. It predicted a terror attack would come. A jumbo jet is hijacked and controlled from the ground. All flight controls by the pilots are dead and useless. The plane is going headlong into the World Trade Center. And at the last moment, the pilot regains control and averts the disaster. 4 months later, 9/11. Was that a warning? Oh, probably nothing. Well, oil storm, June 5th, 2005. Fox Network aired it. The storyline was a hurricane named Julia struck New Orleans, killed thousands of people, stronger than a Category 5 storm. It destroys a major pipeline, drives gasoline prices to $3 a gallon. Oh, gasoline will never reach $3 a gallon. 3 months later, August 29th, Katrina hits New Orleans. Gasoline rises to $3 a gallon. So at that point, we have to start scratching our head and saying, you know, I want to be level-headed about this. I don't want to be some conspiracy nut, but at the same time, I don't want to be uninformed. July 1997, the movie Contact was released. Director Robert Zemeckis, which was also the director to Back to the Future. So he's very much into time travel. The storyline is this Dr. Ellie, now we think it's real interesting that her name is Ellie, because Ellie is kind of a name for E-L-E, which is short for end of life event. So right. Ellie is hinting that this is an end of life event. This Jodie Foster works for this extraterrestrial intelligence program, or SETI, and she hears a radio signal of extraterrestrial origin. And they decode this signal, prime numbers, and they realize that it's actually a very complex machine allowing one person in a pod to be dropped through, here's the important part, three rapidly spinning rings. The nations of the world fund the construction of the machine, like they did with CERN, outfitting several recording devices. She's dropped through the spinning, rotating rings and enters into a wormhole for a few seconds. Are they telling us that the message of the Large Hadron Collider can open a wormhole, effect time travel? The nations of the world funded it, just like they did with the Large Hadron Collider. It uses a ring, spinning rings, like the Large Hadron Collider. So is it capable? Are they telling us that it is capable of opening a wormhole or something that flies through space or spirit or something like that? Hellboy.
You know, this may sound absolutely ludicrous, and I am certain that it will to some. But all of these, there have been so many mixed messages like this. For example, let's go to the swastika. Most people do not know that in the 30s, the swastika was actually put on holiday cards because it's an old Vedic symbol and an East Indian symbol for good luck and prosperity. Instead, it winds up, it's a twisted cross because they're just real evil. It's like, well, no, not exactly. It's a good luck symbol. And I'll take it even one step farther. And we're going to have to take a little break here, Stan, but I'll make this quick. The Three Stooges. Somebody makes a couple of rich guys are making a bet, and one of them approaches the Three Stooges and says, I'm going to make you into a gentleman. They're like, oh, no, our father would never forgive us. And, of course, we all laugh at that. But to me, after several decades of observation, it appears that gentleman means one thing. And that is, you can say or do just about anything you want, provided you're polite and you phrase it in polite language. But it has nothing to do with the actual character of what you're about to perpetrate. Would you agree with this? I think maybe he would.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, yes. Yes, you would agree with that.
Okay. It's good to have you with us, and
thank you.
And we'll be back. We'll get into this and ever so much more. I want to know what happens when CERN turns the power up to 100%. The Council for Nuclear Research. Oh yeah, this is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be back with Stan Johnson in just a minute. We're already keeping the lightning in a black box, traveling down laser beams, 2/1,000,000,000ths of a second long. I want to get into this prophecy with him. He's been studying it a long time, and I would like to know what his research has led us to think might be in store for the U.S. of A. We shall be right back with Mr. Johnson on Coast to Coast AM. Stan Johnson, to clarify something for some of the listeners, it's like several people are taking, they're pointing out, what CERN means, the Center for the Conseil, the nuclear energy research thing done in the French. My British accent's much better than me French. But the thing is are you reading into that, or do you think that they, what the actual name or the acronym CERN is? In other words, it's easy for us to get carried away and start thinking, that's actually they're disguising the real name, the real meaning behind it. I mean, do you have reason to believe that they might actually do this? I mean, I'm asking you the question to get you to answer it. I'm completely convinced that the powers that be do all sorts of things to where they can run their little programs right in front of everybody and basically hide in plain sight. And I think we know that a lot of people out there, from people currently in power in our own government, all the way back to the Nazis and the occult and everything. And I go to the Nazis because, you know, they're the most visible of the evil ones, you know. They are into all kinds of secret meanings, and you know, Adolf Hitler even talked with Aleister Crowley. I mean, it's just weird.
Well, let me answer your question this way. Let me make two more points and then come back and see if I haven't answered it.
Bring it, brother.
Okay. In 1993, Dark Horse Comics released a movie called Hellboy. And
yep.
In this movie, the occultic Nazis, as you were just talking about there, are conducting a project they call Ragnarok. Well, what is Ragnarok? I looked it up. And it's a name given to an evil clone of Thor. It means doom of the gods. So are they saying that this has something to do with ending the world? Let's continue. Hellboy was summoned from hell to earth as an infant on December 23rd, 1944, by the Nazi occultist in this movie. And the way he entered the world, Earth, was they had three rapidly spinning rings, a ring within a ring, which forms a wormhole that looks just like the one on Stargate SG-1. The rings spin, open a wormhole, it sucks a camera in, and also one of the observers there, and this creature pops out. In other words, some people are sucked in, but this creature pops out. And he discovers that he was conceived 300 years ago by a witch, Sarah Hughes, and a demon, Prince of Sheol. Okay, well, Sheol, what is that? Well, gosh, I think the Bible calls that hell. Okay, so is that a half hellion and a half human? Let's continue. The origin indicates that Hellboy is, in fact, half human, half demon. I didn't write this. This is from Wikipedia. Hellboy grew to be a large red-skinned demon with a tail, horns, cloven hoofs, feet, oversized right hand made of stone. Now, the point that this movie is telling us that Hellboy, a clone, half man, half demon, is brought into the world using a lot of energy and rapidly spinning rings. Let me make my second point, then let's go to the answer. 1997, Stargate SG-1 is broadcast on the network. And it's basically the United States government had discovered this Stargate that connects them to a network of our ancient alien devices, and they can contact and go to other stars. And it's done via a wormhole. And how is the wormhole created? Once again, with this, an interlocking ring spinning around another ring, a little bit different, but it's still a lot of energy, and it's a circle. Well, what do we have at CERN? The LHC is a lot of energy, and it's in a circle. Are we really spending $10 billion because we want to find the most elusive thing in the universe, or is that a cover story? Could it be that this is the reason the volcanoes have started waking up, and the reason we're getting more earthquakes and these strange sounds over cities people can't explain? We're seeing fires from the lightning. We're seeing mudslides. We're seeing tornadoes just tearing up the land.
How about that land hurricane the other day that was 700 miles long?
Yes, it's a lot of strange stuff. Now, can I say absolutely positively that the LHC at CERN is anything bad? No, I can't.
Right.
But as a prophecy teacher now for some 30 years, what I can say is the Bible does say that there's going to be a crack in the earth, and coming out of that crack is going to be the beast. And this is the guy that kills the two witnesses that walk up and down the streets of Jerusalem the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, and they close it from raining. They do all, they turn water to blood, and this beast is the guy that kills them. Also, there's a crack comes in the earth. Coming out of the crack is smoke. Coming out of the smoke is locust. Face of a man, hair of a woman, teeth of a lion, and they have a tail like a serpent, and it's like a scorpion that stings men for 5 months. So I start saying, hey, wait a minute. The Muslims are looking for some kind of a beast to arise out of the earth. And could there be something to this? Well, maybe nothing. Maybe we're just wasting our time. But $10 billion to find the most elusive thing in the universe? I can't buy it. I can't buy it, no.
Stan, just for the heck of it, if they did find it and they went, okay, we've got it.
Yes, that's my point. Okay, so
what do we have?
Yeah, that's right. It just doesn't make sense. There's got to be something more to it. Now, they're not telling us.
Let's go off on a little side trip here for a second. You know, people really, really, they seem to, there are many people of faith that listen to this program, and there are many people who are just abject atheists. They just don't want to hear about it. And it's like, okay, I don't say, you know, toss them all into the creek over there. If you have to believe this way or that way, or the way that I say, or he says, or the other one says, or you're just of no value. I have made the comment before that I can't really talk with atheists because there's nothing to talk about. If they don't believe it, they don't believe it. So we're gonna have to talk about something else other than the origins of man. But why do you feel as have the shysters within the let's just say the biblical community, have they just disgraced themselves? And we could name names, but why bother? Everybody knows who they are. Have they just disgraced themselves to the point that they've sort of like messed up the barrel by being a bad apple and being in with the rest of the good apples? Why do you think people resist even the subject of biblical prophecy so much? When you see things happening in the world that are just almost undeniable, they relate directly back to Scripture, but nobody wants to hear it. They really don't.
Oh, how well you said it. I would like to be able to have a really kind, smooth answer, but probably the correct answer is it's just a choice they've made, because a lot of them basically are saying, God, I don't want you in my life. I don't want there to be a God. I want to live my life the way I want to. Now, a little bit deeper question that you're really getting to, I just happen to have the answer for. And a lot of people say, well, I don't understand why America has been so much more blessed than other nations. I don't understand why, if we continue to go down this path, why you say we get in trouble. And I guess that brings us to the next topic, maybe. Do we want to talk about what is coming in the future? I'm probably one of the most informed people on that. I would love to have been on your first hour here with Paul talking about some of the things there. Do we want to talk about what's coming in the future?
Absolutely we do. Why not? If we don't, who will?
Okay. All right, then. And first of all, let me just say to all of the folks out there that are non-believers, let me remind you that most of your parents or your grandfather, grandmother, or great-grandmother, grandfather, most of those were Christians, because this nation was founded to be a Christian nation. Now, before you turn the channel and get mad at me, give me 30 seconds to say what I'm trying to say here. On November the 11th of 1620, the Mayflower was anchored at Provincetown Harbor. Before they even got off of the Mayflower, the signers of this document made a commitment to form a new nation. I'm reading from it now, and it says, undertaken for the glory of God and advancements of the Christian faith. In other words, they asked God to bless this nation, to form a new nation for the furtherance of the Christian faith. Now, what people don't understand is that there was only two nations in all of human history that have made a covenant with God, and that is Israel at the base of Mount Sinai when the audible voice of God spoke to the entire nation. And they said, yes and amen. And he said, I'll be your God, you be my people. Well, The second time was when these people on the Mayflower signed this document saying, we want to start a new nation for the furtherance of the Christian faith. And most of the atheists, most of the unbelievers, if they look back into their family tree far enough, they're going to find that most of their heritage in America is Christian. This is supposed to be a Christian nation. So it shouldn't be that we can't talk about Christian things. I mean, if you want to be a Buddhist, then, and you want to talk about Buddhist things, there are nations that are like that. I mean, like Japan. And if you want to be a Muslim, then there's a lot of Muslim countries. But why try to make America a Muslim or a Buddhist or an atheist country? Why not find a nation that has the God after the one that you want to follow? Now, I need to tell you a story. How much time do we have for the break?
Oh, we got about 5 minutes.
Okay, I'll try to. I don't think I'll be able to get through the whole story, but when I tell you this story, it's going to set a lot of things straight, and then we're going to get into a lot of the things for the future, the things that are coming, and I'll be able to answer your questions about why this is just not foolishness and just my opinion, but why you can count on it. Here's the story. Years ago, there was a pastor in Romania by the name of Dimitru Dudeman, and he was working for the military. He was in the military. His job was to search ships coming into Romania and to confiscate the Bibles and to arrest the missionaries. One day, a ship came in from Holland, and he found a large quantity of Bibles under a crate of cookies. And he went to a man that was crying and shaking, and he said, "Are these your Bibles?" He said, "No, they belong to your brothers and your sisters." And he said, "About that time, I heard a voice speak from behind me, and it said, 'Dimitri, don't take those Bibles. Give me back his passport, or I'll punish you.' He turned and saw no one. He started shaking, so he ran into another room because he didn't want to be embarrassed by shaking in front of all the people. This began 30 years of him smuggling Bibles into Romania and Russia. Now, I'm going to fast forward. So he smuggled Bibles into Romania and Russia for many years. Finally, he was arrested. They put him through 5 months of torture. All kinds of torture. Put him in a room with rats trying to eat him up. They would get him all cold and beat him with rubber hoses. Finally, they took him into another room, and they said, "Dimitri, do you see this chair?" He said, "Yes." He said, "We brought this chair all the way from Germany just for you. You see that chair? You're going to tell us how you get the Bibles in, or you're going to die on that chair." He said, "Even if I die, I have nothing to tell you." He said, "They strapped me on the chair. They put a bowl on my head. They put something over my chest, something under my feet, and they turned it on." He said, "I felt pins and needles going all through my body." He said, "I thought I was going to die." And he said, "So I cried out, 'God, don't let me down.'" He said, "About that time, the whole room lit up with white light. And the angel said, 'Look at me.' He says, I looked up. Now, the electricity is going through his body. He looks up, and he sees this angel and says, 'I'm the angel Gabriel.' He said, 'I'm here to protect you.' He said, 'Don't worry.' He said, 'You're not going to die.' He said, 'You're going to America to give them a message from God.' He said, 'Plead the blood of Jesus.' So he said, I started saying, 'Singelului Iisus, Singelului Iisus,' which is Romanian for 'the blood of Jesus.' He said, I woke up on the ground. They were slapping me around, pouring water on me. And he said, 'Now we have everything.' They turned the machine on. There was his voice, 'Singelului Iisus.' In other words, they could not kill him. Put him back on the electric chair. The second time, turned the electricity up, still couldn't kill him. Now, whether you're atheist or not, anybody that can be put on the electric chair twice and cannot be killed, I'm ready to listen to them. So anyway, now we're going to skip forward. 3 months later, the angel came to him in the middle of the night. He said, 'Dimitri, get up, run outside.' He said, 'Now, do you hurt anymore?' Because he was all beat up. Okay. He said, 'No.' He said, 'Okay, get busy.' He says, 'You have 4 more years to carry Bibles.' He said, 'They will follow you step by step. But I'm going to be ahead of you. I'm going to blind their eyes. When they see they can't catch you, they're going to kick you out of your country.' He said, 'You're going to America to give them a warning from God.' He said, 'Now, so that you know that I'm truly the angel of God, I'm going to tell you the year, month, day, and hour you're going to be exiled.' He said, July 22nd, 1984, 10 o'clock in the morning. He said, 'For 4 years I carried Bibles. I took out my passenger seat, my back seat, had so many Bibles in my car across the Yeah, she said, I could barely turn the steering wheel. I pull up to the checkpoint. They're throwing the Bibles around. What are you doing with all these books? Where are the Bibles? Dimitri, we know you have Bibles. How do you get the Bibles through? Who do you bring them to? Who do you take them to? How do you get the Bibles through? They couldn't see. They were handling Bibles. Ah, go on, get out of here. Quit making fun of us. They couldn't see him. Finally, the day came. He gave away all of his belongings. He's sitting in the front living room. There comes the knock on the door. Dimitri, you have to come with us. What are you doing with all these suitcases? Well, we knew you were coming. How'd you know you were coming? Well, God told us. So they took him to the airport. Exactly. July 22nd, 1984, 10 o'clock in the morning. So he arrived to America. The angel came to him again. The angel said, Dimitri, get beside me. He said, I don't know what it was. He said, look like a big pillow on fire. He said, but in a moment of time, he took and showed me all of California and Las Vegas. He said, you see what I've shown you? He says, this is Sodom and Gomorrah. Their sins has reached the Holy One. God has decided to punish it with fire. He said, now, do you know what city this is? He said, no. He says, this is New York City. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. And he took and showed him all of Florida. He said, you see what I've shown you? All of this is Sodom and Gomorrah. And one day, it will burn. He said, how will it burn? America's so powerful. He said, the fall of America will start with an internal revolution, started by the communists. Some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the oceans, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, and two of the countries will attack and defeat America. And in one day, 1 hour, America will fall. I hear the music, so we'll pick it up on the other side of the break.
So you're good, Stan. All right, Stan Johnson is our guest tonight. It's interesting. Let's find out what a student of prophecy thinks America has waiting for it out there in the future, which extends its lily-white arms to us. Pale and milky lily-white arms. This is Coast to Coast AM.